Hello, human peoples. You're listening to the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. Support us and gain access to great exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Star Trek The Next Futurama, and our latest show, Spiel Boys. Head over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We do game streaming, movie nights with our patrons every Friday night, and you can even commission your own podcast about anything you want. Literally anything, within reason, and we have to do it. You are quite frankly out of excuses not to go visit patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/gamefully unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Dances all the way down.
Yeah. What? Hi, everybody.
Like a refreshing drink. Hello.
Oh, okay. My name is David Bell.
My name is Tom Ryan.
And we just watched Monkey Man.
Monkey Man.
Monkey Man, little guy. Little Monkey Man.
Yep. He ditches around that mask immediately.
I know.
That was so
Why?
Sad. That was so sad.
Close your eyes, and you will find yourself.
As a boy, my mother used to tell me a story of a demon king and his army. They brought fire and terror to the land until they faced the protector of the people, the white monkey.
Keep the mask.
Keep the mask. It's beautiful.
Let all of these men, let that be the last thing they see. Is this, they're getting their ass bewilderingly kicked by a man in a monkey mask.
Yeah. Oh, folks. All right. This has been out a few weeks,
I want to say. Couple of weeks
where
now.
We have like a backlog. Like
So many things came out in like the same 7 days.
Yeah, that we were like slowly getting around to these things. It's ridiculous. Like part of me is like if we, I don't know, if we did more of these, I would just like, or do like a joint one. I was thinking like, oh, what if we did back to like two movies or it doesn't matter. None of this matters. So yeah, this has been out for a while. This is Dev Patel, his directorial debut. He co-wrote it. He stars in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's one of them John Wicks.
Kind of.
You might have already seen it. Kind of. Well, yeah. And we'll get into it. It takes place in India. If you've watched the trailers don't tell you much, at least the ones I saw. I also, this was one where I saw one trailer and was like, yeah, I don't need to be convinced. I will just go watch
right,
the movie.
Right, it just looks really slick and awesome.
Yeah, I was excited for this one. What did you think of Monkey Man?
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was good. I liked it.
It was good.
I liked Monkey Man.
It was good.
It was similar and yet different. And what I mean by that is it vibed with revenge movies and like, you know, John Wick. They even mention John Wick.
They
in
do.
The movie.
Yeah. Very pointedly.
Yeah.
I like how different it is. Like I like all the weirdness, like the vision scene where he pulls open his chest and like it zooms into his chest.
Yes, the differences I think make it really good and really unique to me. Because it's so I want to talk about things it did, and I just want to start and say I don't think I have a single criticism of this movie. Not really.
I have a minor one. I think. Okay. Particularly in the first half, it's a little too much style over substance, just in terms of how like it kind of does a Bourne thing, but it does a spin on the Bourne thing where the way that the fighting is shot is very chaotic and the camera will jump around. It'll just like jump placement sometimes 6 or 7 times in the same sequence. And it gets a little dizzying. And it's really cool. Like it'll be like on somebody will get their head slammed up against a fire extinguisher, like an emergency cabinet. And then the shot will reverse and it'll be from the inside of that cabinet looking out, which is cool. And it's really slick, but it just gets a little dizzying
You're right.
It's more in the first half of the movie. I feel like it's more when he's like less good at fighting.
Yes. And it's to show that.
Right.
No, yeah. You're right. That is something I did note when I watched it, which is that the movie is disorienting and I think it's supposed to be. However,
right. It's intentional. Yeah.
Yeah. However, it's kind of like when a movie does like an explosion, they do the ringing sound and you're like, I get it. But also this is actually hurting my ears.
Right. You're it's actually that, doing tinnitus.
Yeah. Where it's like I started feeling dizzy a little bit.
Yeah.
And the Bourne shaking cam is also kind of conveniently used to cover up certain, you know, yeah. if an actor can't do, which I got the vibe that Dev Patel could do stuff, because one of the things this movie gets really right in my head is what if John Wick wasn't good at first?
That what if he shows up and just gets fucking wrecked the first time?
And is like embarrassed, an embarrassing amount of being wrecked, like barely gets away. And it's one of those things where you watch Johnny Wick and you're like, I don't know why this works. And like, I don't know why I'm watching a movie where a guy is never in danger. Not really. Until some of the sequels, where you're just watching a horror movie from the perspective of the slasher villain,
exactly,
basically.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not saying it doesn't work. It works. It's still like on paper, like the principle of that is always like, why are we watching this? It's great. Why are we watching Keanu Reeves just murder people?
It's
just
a guy massacring its way through people. I don't know. Cause it's awesome.
It is, because it's so well choreographed.
Yeah.
And this one,
this is a beautiful film.
Oh yeah. He's a great director. He did a great job.
Yeah. There's really cool shots in this and really interesting, just an interesting ways to interpret things. I don't know. It was very cool. Very cool movie.
I really liked that it didn't necessarily feel the need to fill it with action.
Right. It's more art house than I think some people may expect from the trailer. It's definitely a little slower than you might expect.
Right. Because what's interesting to me is when you say, okay, it doesn't have that much action, you might assume, oh, it has a lot of story. No, I don't think it has a lot of story either. In fact, one of my criticisms, again, it's not really a criticism, it's more of a realization about this movie. I don't think we actually needed to know why he wanted revenge. The movie starts, so the movie, what's fascinating or different about this movie at first, so basically you meet him and he's down on his luck. He's doing like bare knuckle boxing, and he is being paid specifically
to
take a dive.
Yeah,
yeah.
By Charlton Copley.
Right, Charlton Copley, who like the trailers made it seem like he was the villain, and he is not.
No,
he is just an incidental scumbag.
Yeah,
yeah, he's great.
It's just a fringe scumbag, you know.
Yeah. And so it kind of starts on this where you're like, okay, well, this is a man who clearly is down in his luck. His hands are all fucked up.
Yeah.
And he is sort of working in the underground in India. He has he's like plugged in to like the scrappy crime. It's not like, or it's like, again, scrappy crime. It's like Aladdin crime, right? It's like street rat. Like we're jumping on rooftops. We're like pickpocketing. Like,
low level.
I don't know how else
small
to put
time,
it.
Small time.
Yeah. But it's like fun. It's like, oh, this looks, I want to be one of these little kids doing crime. Like they have kids. They have kid crime where
that's
they're
true,
like passing
yeah.
a wallet between kids and stuff.
Yeah. We get to follow the note all the way through the little crime network. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun. It's fun crime. And so like,
it's whimsical crime.
Yeah. But of course, like the movie does a really good job at making you realize, okay, this guy is very traumatized, right? He goes to this club. He figures out where this woman works. She's so good at being
Queenie.
A villain.
Yeah, she's awesome. Yeah, she's like this, I don't know, like a local kingpin, basically.
Yeah. And she works at this, like, she runs this, like brothel, this high-end, brothel restaurant.
And women are literally on the menu.
Yes. And so he gets a job as a dishwasher there. And you know, they have to they scan you when you come in for guns, stuff like that. And what we get before it's really reveal, like, you get the impression of, like, okay, he's working his way up here. And you
we kind of know who he's after. Like, we know he's after that guy, the guy with the mustache, who we find out is the chief of police. And I do, it's interesting that they sort of leak out his backstory throughout the movie in small doses. Like, we don't really realize, we don't know the full picture of what he's up to.
Right. That's the one thing, is I would cut that one flashback, because it starts with him being told the story of a monkey man who tried to eat the sun. And it's clearly like his mother telling him this story. It's a woman telling a young kid. And then we keep getting these flashbacks of like a beautiful stream and a nice village. And then like there's a part where he's looking at a painting and he gets like bad flashbacks. He's like shots of fire and screaming. And then you also hear that there's this spiritual guru, and there's clearly some politics here with, like, I guess Hindu nationalism. But it's not really, they don't explain it and they don't really need to.
Not too much.
And so you see this, this guru who, like, on the news, you see stuff about, like, there's some scummy shit he did. Like they interview him and ask him about, like, pushing people out of a town.
He's a fake guru.
Right. And it's all to say, like, he's working with that police chief that our main character is mad at.
Yeah.
And you get all these in context clues. So, like, I didn't, by the time they went to the flashback, I'm like, yeah, I know.
Kind of almost don't need it, yeah.
Yeah, he killed his mom. He killed his mom, and he bulldozed his fucking house.
Like, yeah, he burned his village down, yeah. I like that it was, I got a little bit of the crow vibes from this, because like the crow is kind of the same thing where he's not after the top dog. It's like the guy under him that he's after, and it's the same thing here, where he's after the chief of police, not necessarily this guru guy.
Yeah, that guy, he's just like the
there,
bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little like the Roadhouse movie, where it's like the mini boss is the actual person that he's going after, that's tough. And then like the slimy young
Ben Gazzara,
that guy. Yeah, he's nothing, right? It's just like, oh yeah, you can kill him immediately. And so this is all slowly set up. And so he's working this kitchen. He's feeding this dog, this stray dog.
Oh man. Love that dog.
Was a cool little plan he had going. Yeah, it was a cute dog. And at first you're like, oh, he's just feeding the dog.
Yeah, it's like, it's gonna be a John Wick thing. Like, I felt like that was a John Wick like nod.
Oh yeah, there's definitely nods in this. Again, he goes and buys a gun, and the guy,
and they say it's the John Wick gun.
You like John Wick? Yeah, he's, and he doesn't get that one. He gets like the shittier.
He gets a little revolver, a little snub nose.
Yeah. And he says, like, close is good. Like, this movie is really good at, like, explaining. This is a really good exposition movie, I thought, because it never felt like
it doesn't bog down, it just keeps it moving.
Yeah, and it never felt like there was a moment where someone had to explain something to me. You just sort of, as you're watching, you'd slowly go like, oh, okay.
And we've seen enough of these kinds of movies that we can infer a lot just with a couple of bits of information too. Like, we've seen a lot of these movies.
Exactly. We know the score, right?
We know what the deal is.
To the point that, again, they don't start with, this is why he wants revenge. He starts with, this is a guy who wants revenge, and you accept it immediately. You're like, okay. Like, I didn't even need to know the details. I got it, you know, where it's like, okay,
I'm pretty sure
he killed his mom. And he was a young boy, yada, yada, yada. And so he works, he meets this scummy guy working in the back with the kitchen with him.
Love that guy.
Yeah, he was great, because he wasn't like, I thought he was going to be like one of the guys you'd have to kill. And it was like, no,
he's just like a minor.
Like, he's a minor. There's a lot of criminal, like, incidental scumbags that are like, yeah, they're just doing their thing.
Yeah, they're just fine, you know.
Yeah, we don't have any problems with these scumbags. Yes, they're doing terrible things.
It's like scumbag Avengers.
It is. And so he slowly like works his way up. And he's just working so that he can get close enough to this police chief. And I remember thinking, and I don't, I think what they did was better. But I started thinking, oh, is he going to kill him? Because we were getting, like, I was getting
quick.
To that point
yeah,
where...
It's within the first hour that he's making his way to the police chief. So you're like, shit.
Exactly. And that was like, is the movie going to be him escaping? The whole movie going to be like him, he kills the guy and then he has to get out? And they go to a different direction with it, which is that he points the gun at the guy and he just gets his ass kicked.
Right. The chief of police fucking beats his ass savagely. Yeah.
And he's bad. He's a bad shot. He hesitates. And you're like, no, don't hesitate. Yeah,
he does it all wrong. He messes it up. He fucks up his death wish.
And he's not good. You realize, like, oh, yeah, I guess he's not very good. Because he says, like, again, he's like, a close is good. A gun that you have to get close. Because he's not a good shot is what they're basically saying. And you realize, like, all he's been doing is taking a dive. That's his whole character up until this point, is he's getting paid to get his ass
beat. He's a guy that takes lumps, yeah.
Right, and you kind of, there's this implication of like, oh, I can't wait till he actually starts getting badass when we see what he's capable of. And the reveal is like, no, he's not actually that good. And it just goes so wrong. And then you see in the trailer when he fucking runs and tries to jump out the window and
just bounces off
the window.
Yeah, that's a good moment.
It's great because it's like every attempt to be badass is just goes horribly wrong for him in this moment. And it's kind of delightful to watch.
It's pretty great.
It's not like play for laughs either.
No, it's like that bit where he hits the window is really kind of the only gag that they do. The rest of it is just like, in the moment, you're kind of like, ah, like it's like tense because you're with him. Like, it's like later on, you're like, oh, that's kind of funny that he's just really sloppy and fucking up.
Yeah.
But in the moment, you're just like, you're with the tension of it where you don't want him to get to slip up and get stabbed or kicked in the throat or something.
Right. Like, it's not funny, but it is funny. It's just like, oh, wow, you suck, man. And he gets thrown. He ends up like in the river. Which you don't want to be in that river.
Savagely beaten.
Yeah. The cop, there's a police helicopter. It's also this moment of like, boy, did this escalate. Like you think he's like, oh, he'll just sleep into the night, and it's like,
nope.
He's like steals that guy's car, and then there's just like cops and like every, and it's just like, oh, this is a major problem.
Yeah, he gets T-boned by the police, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah,
he barely gets away.
They throw him in the river, and then he gets taken in by the people from the temple.
Yeah, and this is where the movie like takes a break. So like, that's what's interesting is like, there's like the first fight scenes, but they aren't really action scenes. And then there's a lot of the street stuff where they're, you know, scrapping on the street. He's getting a gun. And then you see him slowly working his way up. And then once he gets to the guy, that's when, like you said, where you realize like, oh, this is happening a lot sooner than I thought.
Yeah. I was on the same wavelength as you were, where I was thinking, oh, okay, this is going to be like, the next hour is going to be him trying to make his way back out of this building.
Right.
But what they did, I agree that I think what they did is more interesting, where he just fucks it up.
Right, because you're sitting there trying to write the movie, right?
Yeah.
At least that's what I do. And so at first, when it first started happening, I was like, okay, so we're going to get like an hour of him working his way up the ladder and like earning the respect. You know, we've seen a lot of those movies where like...
Right, yeah. Like License to Kill.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, where they're pretending to be friends with this person that they hate.
Yeah.
And like, they
mean
will probably
girls.
Right. And like the action was going to be like them fighting for the person. Right.
Yeah.
That's what I expected. And then once he got the gun on him, I was like, okay. New plan. I guess the movie's going to be like, he kills the guy and then he has to get away and then he fucks it up and then it's in the river and I'm like, huh? All right. It's not like revolutionary, but it was just
a fun way to break up the movie. And then the middle part is him at this temple. We get the full flashback. And then
this is
kind of the finale is him just going back and storming the castle, so to speak. Now that he's like hyped up appropriately, they teach him how to fight at the temple.
Yeah.
They teach him how to be badass.
Yeah, the temple is really interesting because it's at least implied that it's trans or LGBT.
Yeah, I looked it up briefly just to mention this. So forgive my ignorance, but they're called the Hedra, and they are transgender.
Okay. The movie makes it fairly clear.
And they mention it too. It's part of the politics. Like, they mention it in a news broadcast in the background. Like, the bad guy's party that's getting elected is very anti-trans.
Right. It's like Hindu nationalism, mm-hmm. it seems like. At least, again, I don't know for sure. And the movie doesn't... It's that sort of thing where in the movie they know that we know as Americans, where I'm like, yeah, we have these. You know, we have Christian nationalists.
Yeah, we know what this is. We have fundamentalists.
Right, and it's not about the religion, because it felt like the temple was of the same religion. You know, the trans characters were also religious, but they were looking at it like they're showing this deity that's half man, half woman.
Yeah, it was like half Shiva and half Parvati, I think. Again, I'm fucking it up with my ignorance. Forgive me. But yeah,
it's all right.
Yeah, it's like a theme in the movie.
Right, and the movie's, I think it's okay to be ignorant about it, only because the movie's not trying to spell it out.
No.
They understand that this is not, but you kind of, this is where things slow down again, and most action movies don't like to slow down like this, and so, like, I appreciate
it. Can be
it
dangerous this. For action movies to slow down in the middle, yeah.
Yeah, and so he has to recover, and there's a part where, like, they're sitting around a fire, it's very folksy. Like the person on the drums doing
that's a fun performance. Where they're doing like the man and the woman, and they're playing the two different tones for the man and the woman.
Yeah.
it was a fun bit.
Yeah, it felt again very folksy. It felt like I was watching like Prairie Home Companion shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. like it was like kind of lame folksy.
Yeah, like chill out like for the next couple hours. I can just hang out here.
Exactly. And so he starts training there, and he trains with the drums, which was a cool idea.
Thumping the Christ out of a bag of rice, man.
Yeah.
He is punching the shit out of that thing.
And with the drum. And it's implied that some of the people here also know how to fight.
Yeah, because they help him later. They come with him later and fuck shit
up. They sure do.
Just cutting necks.
And this is where he gets high, right? And we get that sequence where it's all fucked up.
Yeah, yeah. This is where he like rips his chest open.
Yeah. And we get the actual flashback to see what happened with his mom, which is exactly what we thought.
Yeah.
The police chief basically lit her on fire in the house while he watched. It's they don't show anything, but it's a brutal act. And I guess my one critique is like I already knew at that point what had happened, so.
Yeah, we didn't really need it spelled out, I don't think, but you know, that's what they decided to do, so that's in the movie.
Yeah,
it doesn't hurt it to have it spelled out, but
not at all.
Interesting that we really did have kind of all we needed already.
Yeah, for me it was like spelling it out is the safe, normal thing a movie would do,
mm-hmm.
and I was surprised realizing like I don't think anybody in this audience is confused.
No,
I think if you've watched enough movies, you're completely in tune with like, yeah, I got you.
And not even it wasn't just like through the narrative and the way he's behaving. It was also like we'd gotten a lot of flashes of it already. So it's like we had seen enough of the actual images of that were finally shown in the flashback to understand what's happening.
Yeah.
So it is a little sure. like when they finally get to it, it is a little bit like, it's like, yeah, we know. We got it. We saw this.
Yeah, there was enough. There was more than enough. Yeah.
It's like Janosch and Ghostbusters 2. Yes, I've heard all of this. Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess when a movie's like, this is like a 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, could have shaved off 15
minutes. Cut a little bit down. Yeah.
But yeah, it's not really a big deal. And so he goes back. We haven't talked about the love interest, mainly because I think this movie did good with that.
Yeah, she's not really a love interest.
No, it's sort of this like what would have been vibe, right? Where she's a sex worker,
being trafficked through this Queenie's business. I think it's more of just like it's more like a ship's passing in the night vibe, where he recognizes a kindred spirit, and that somebody who is trapped in this, but you know,
yes, there's it's very good. They just share glances.
Yeah, that's really all it is. Yeah.
And her arc is completed by basically standing up to the woman, the terrible woman yeah. running this place.
Hits her with a tray.
And she smashes her fucking head in.
And then they cut her thumb off.
Yeah. So, like, I thought that was a good use of, like,
yeah.
you know, it's this funny thing where I think with studios where there's this idea of, like, we need a romantic interest. And what's funny is I feel like producers are just happy if you just have a hot lady in it.
That's all they really like, want. Actually, yeah, that's what they, all they're actually asking for when they say right. that.
So they give her her own, basically, her side arc, which is like, yeah, like you said, at the beginning it's established she's trapped. She doesn't like being groped by these guys, but this is her job, and she's hardened by it. You know, she sort of says to him, like, this is the wrong place.
If yeah, if this bothers you, this you shouldn't stuff. Be working here, is basically yeah, what she tells him. Yeah. She's just like, yeah, she's totally, like paved over, basically. Like, she's completely numb to it now, it seems.
Right. But that isn't... But she still has a shitty job.
Right. Yeah, you know? It's awful. Yeah, she is not here. It is made clear that she's not necessarily here because she wants to be. Like, she is being trafficked along with all these yeah. other people.
And so her at the end, basically, like, they do. Yeah,
I know it's a shock, but the place that has women on their literal menu does yeah. it's not a reputable business.
Not a cool place.
Not a cool yeah. place.
Not fun. Yeah, so that her arc is basically Queenie goes to almost kill. I believe she's like about to shoot
about to
him.
Shoot
or
him. Yeah, she unloads like a.
Right.
She shoots a lot of bullets at
him. And again, they do such a good job with her being just so verbally abusive and mean.
Oh, yeah.
She's that terrifying. Actress, yeah. I don't know who she was. She was killing it.
Yeah, she was great.
She was, yeah. And so, yeah, this woman brains her with like a tray. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, he needs her thumbs.
With a serving tray, it's symbolic.
Ah, you're right.
But they had served cocaine vials on earlier.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, if you've ever done cocaine off a tray, it's great. It makes it better. It's like drinking Coke in a glass bottle.
Yeah,
you know
a pewter
what I mean?
Tray? Yeah, you just feel yeah. like you're fucking railing lions with Sherlock Holmes. It just feels dignified.
Yeah. So good. Nope. Yeah, so we have the training montage, and then he goes out and, yeah, you can probably guess what happens. This is where we get the kitchen fight, all the cool fights.
Yeah.
Well, first he goes out and he wins the bare knuckle boxing.
That
which
was a fun sequence.
One kick.
It's yeah, it is just straight up the snatch thing. A yeah. single blow just absolutely murders the guy.
He bets on himself and basically gives all the money to that temple.
Yep.
And that was it. I think that kind of that pretty much like it sums it all up, right? Is the term monkey man, he's this character in this like underground boxing where he's wearing a monkey mask and he's supposed to be seen as kind of a fool. Like he's taking all the hits.
He's kind of a rodeo clown.
Yes.
He's a jobber, you know, in pro wrestling terms. He's just getting worked every night.
Right. And at first you think like, oh, but you wait. But then you realize like that is just what he is. Yeah. He gets his ass handed
to him.
He's just
a punching bag. Yeah.
So it's a perfect arc to have him train and then go back there and just demolish the guy immediately. And it's like a very simple and easy arc, but it's like, yeah.
Well, yeah. And it's, you know, it's the metaphor of his life, right? Where he's just taking it and taking it. It's like, well, now he's fighting back.
Yeah, because the idea is he's been slowly waiting for this opportunity.
Yes.
And he has it, and he blew it at first. And so,
he
like,
really does.
Yeah, and so the second time
I wonder
around,
what happens
he just
to the
has
dog.
To,
does the dog keep coming back, hoping to get fed?
It probably did. It was probably like, oh, that son of a bitch.
It's like, oh, I guess that guy lost his job.
Yeah.
He should have adopted the dog.
He should have. But, well, we don't see his fate.
That's the comment card I would want to fill out.
Yeah. We don't see his fate ultimately. This is one of those action movies where, like, bad guy dies, and they're like, okay, we're done. Movie over.
Right, he gets like partially gutted, but he seems fine.
Right, we don't even know
it's
if he's
like
going to leave.
It's kind of like
building.
A drive sitch.
Yeah,
where like Ryan Gosling gets like disemboweled by Albert Brooks, but right. he's fine.
And the implication is like this is it. This is all he needed to do. You know, like we don't need to see him survive. That's not the point.
No,
you know, or yeah. that's yeah. So it's basically it. Instead of sneaking his way in, this time around, he basically has to just barge in.
He just tears it down, yeah.
Yeah,
it's and in front of the painting at the end of like the Monkey Man God like smashing through all the armies. So it's, you know, that's what he's doing.
That's what he's doing. He's going up to eat the sun or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he ends up killing the spiritual leader who has knife sandals, which is very funny. Yeah.
And then when he fucks up and Dev Patel has like stabbed him 5 times, like he's like, okay, I'm sorry. Like,
yeah.
I'm just kidding, JK.
I was just messing with you.
Just messing, man. Okay. What if we call it a draw?
And yeah, it basically ends with like there's helicopters outside. Yeah. There's no way he's getting out of there.
Probably not, but maybe.
Maybe. And yeah, the people from the temple do show up also. You see them in the trailer with those masks and they fuck shit up too.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the action?
Again, I liked the action. It's the one criticism that I have is the disorienting way it was shot was cool and very slick. It just was a little too much, up front. So there were some parts where I was like genuinely dizzying.
Yeah. I like this movie. It reminded me how spoiled we are. Cause the action is, it's fantastic. And yet I'm just like, meh. Yeah, it was cool.
Right. Yeah. Like feeling a little blue balls and it's not fair for the movie because it's like,
no,
it's yeah, but they didn't have like a big fist fight in a knife museum or like in that huge traffic circle in France, like John.
Yeah, or ridiculous like, oneers.
Yeah,
or like anything like that.
A 15-minute fight on a huge staircase.
Like, right. Like
we are a little spoiled.
We are, and that's what's interesting is like the action. This is I would say it's good.
It's good action. Yeah.
It's not amazing, and I don't think it had the budget to be amazing. There's like some cool ideas. There's a part where he's fighting guy in the elevator, and he stabs the guy,
and
then he
rips
both of his arms
with his teeth.
Yeah, both of his arms get pinned, so he uses his teeth to like rip the knife into him. That's already
so
sticking out of
gnarly.
Him.
Gnarly.
But generally, I there's some stuff in the trailers that I was like, "Ooh, that's gonna be cool," and then in the movie, it was kind of like, "Oh, I guess that's it." Like
yeah, they really kind of show you a lot of it in the trailer.
Yeah, like the shot of him smashing the bottle on the guy's head on the oven and his head lights on fire. That looked like a piece of like a larger like oneer, where he's just like beating people up. And it was like, no, the camera just cuts away right after that, same as the trailer. Like there's a lot of, like you said, born shaky cam. There's a lot of cuts.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of like more obscured action, and at times it does lean into that as being purposefully disorienting. But I would argue even at the end, the action felt a little obscured.
It's still not that. It's still pretty obscured, which I mean, it's a choice. It's absolutely a choice. But I mean, it's not just like the John Wick movies. There's like the movies directed by like Timo Tejanto on Netflix, like Headshot and. The Night Comes for Us, and it's the way that action, like S-tier action, is filmed right now, is like it's still chaotic, but it's not obscured. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I mean, this is a choice, absolutely, and it is effective in conveying that he really sucks at fighting in the first half and gets better in the second half. I wish it wasn't so obscured. Yeah.
Yeah, like there's not much action that I remember. You can make this work for you. He's not like a martial artist, you know, he's not flipping around. The idea is he's just a brawler. And that comes out. But I think like, again, it's just hard to look at this and then look at like The Raid, a movie that probably had similar budget, right? This was made for about 10 million.
I'm sure probably similar budget.
And again, it's not fair because it's like The Raid is a bunch of martial art experts.
It's a martial arts stunt team. Yeah. It's just whooping each other's asses.
But
in different costumes.
It's more to say that like it's just gotten harder to make like really compelling action.
We've got so many Not so many, but there's like two or three or a good solid handful of action directors right now that are so, so good at escalation.
Yeah.
So, you're right. It is kind of getting hard to be like, it's got to like, you really wanted that kitchen fight to escalate a little bit more. You kind of see all of it in the trailer.
Yeah. Get a cheese grater involved. Stuff that people haven't seen. So for the record,
beat somebody with that microwave.
Yeah. Monkey Man, $10 million movie. Any guesses on how much the raid's budget was?
Oh, is it like a fraction? Is it like $2 million? It's
1.1 million.
Oh, fuck.
It is a tenth of the budget. I mean, you can tell because like...
It's the same hall in the same room, basically.
Yeah. Just redressed over and over again.
They just keep redressing. And it's like the same 25 guys wearing different costumes.
Yeah, just fake mustaches. But yeah, that makes sense. It's like it doesn't cost much to hire 20 stuntmen and just have them
beat the shit out of each other in two rooms.
Yeah, but yeah, that's. I mean, it's tough again because it's not like this doesn't have awesome fights. It's just that like, yeah, I can't think. Like, there's a part where I know he's standing on the bar beating people, and then when
all those other monks show up
and they start fucking stuff up. We leave. Do you remember, like, once they show up, he leaves?
Kind of. He fights for a little bit. Like, that's when they come in is when he steps on top of the bar.
Right. Right. But then we never see, like, the end of that fight.
Yeah, like, he sort of leaves while they're still fucking shit up, and we never really see that resolution.
Yeah. And stuff like that where I'm like, I don't know if that was budget or time or what, but it felt like...
We can infer it because like they're handily winning when he leaves, so it's like we're not worried about them. It's just like it's interesting that we never. That's it. Like that's the end.
Yeah, it's not that I was worried. I wanted to see them. I wanted to see them more kicking ass because that seemed like a fun group. Because like when they showed up, like my audience was like, "Woo!" You know, like they were.
Yeah, it's a cheer moment. They come in the room and start fucking shit up.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody, like, no one was disappointed by it that I was with, because I think ultimately, like...
It still delivers all the things that you would want in a mainstream action movie. It's just a little slower paced.
Yeah, it's unique for that reason. I watched it with Hannah, and Hannah kind of said it was... The way they put it is, like, it's neat to watch John Wick with, like, an emotional center. And, like... more emotional, dramatic. And what's funny about that is I think the reason this feels more emotional, and listen, I love Keanu Reeves.
I know exactly what you're about to say. Yeah,
but perhaps it's because this has a very good actor.
Right. Dev Patel is a very good actor.
Yeah, because it's not different than John Wick in the emotional stakes, I would argue.
No, not at all. It's pretty much the same thing.
Yes.
That's kind of the idea of John Wick is it doesn't, it can be anything, right?
Yes. And at least that's how he represents his wife too.
Right,
for the record, we're not saying that this mother is the same as a dog.
No, it's the same thing. It's like his heart basically.
Yes. And so Dev Patel is such a major part of this. That's all to say, because like he is an emotional core in this where you feel that pain. And that's part of why, like, I never needed that flashback because it was like, so
we got
obvious.
It. Yeah. We got it all.
Yeah. Just based off his performance. Mm-hmm. And so like what I think makes this unique and worth like, you know, if you were like, making a definitive list of modern action, you know, of best modern action. This is on that list. And what makes it stand out is, I think, what we're saying, the pacing and I do think the emotional element to that. Like, The Raid has a little of that, but even The Raid, it's like, it's like the brother stuff.
It's very basic. You know, he's got a pregnant wife.
Yeah,
but you
really feel it here. You feel the rage, you feel the desperation, you feel the sadness.
It's interesting because of the way it does those things. Like I said, it still hits all the same points that you'd want a a mainstream action movie to hit. But like, for instance, when he kills the chief of police, like this really stuck with me. Like I really was like, oh, that's an interesting decision. Is he literally beats him to death with his fists.
Right.
Like, it's not like, you might expect like a showdown where it's like, you know, kicks him off a building or fucking blows him, sticks a grenade in his mouth or something. He's beaten the man down on the ground and he's looking at him and it's just the reverse shot of Dev Patel over him. And it's all this emotion in his face. You can see the rage and the anguish and he just keeps just smashing this dude and it's all playing out on his face. It's a really, that's how he gets his revenge.
Yeah.
It's like such a choice. It was really a cool way to do that. That's a really unique way to have it play out because he's doing the thing we want him to do. He's killing the guy that we want him to kill, but it's like, it's not in the way that it's normally done in these movies. It really is focusing on the emotion of it and like how it's raw and it kind of doesn't feel cool because he's just smashing this dude. Yeah.
Yeah, like what we're watching is him.
Yeah.
And like at the end, he doesn't seem like he necessarily got relief. You can't really tell.
He kind of in a daze stands up and walks into the elevator and goes upstairs and kills the fake religious guy. He's just kind of like on autopilot at that point. He's just like a machine in motion at that point.
Yeah, I think his arc, if there is an arc, is that I think besides being learning to train, he starts taking up the cause of that temple. Like he realizes
fights for the people, like the Monkey Man,
right? Like the Monkey Man. Yeah, where at first he's just trying to get his.
Yeah,
and then I think the idea is like I got to kill this other guy too.
Yeah, this guy.
Like
sucks.
I wasn't here to kill this guy, but I'm gonna have to do that.
We gotta get rid of this guy.
It's like, right, because
it's like Wesley Snipes and Demolition Man.
Yeah.
It's like somebody needs to kill him. He's pissing me off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I think the idea is he's already in the hole, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is an old boy, and what I mean by that is
he can't
go
to worse jail.
Exactly. Like, old boy is about the follies of revenge to a very disturbing degree, right?
Yeah.
This movie isn't trying to be old boy. It's not trying to say, like, look how...
No, it's
terrible,
not, it's not
it
the
is,
dig two graves thing, no.
No, but it is still showing, like, his life is over. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still like, that's, I think by showing him kill the spiritual leader, and then you see the police helicopters, and you're like, well, he might get out, but, like, he sure as hell isn't welcome in this country anymore. You know, like, that's pretty much it. So, like, they're
showing...
It's going
to be difficult for him to move around.
Right, so... They're like subtly showing the consequence without like overtly moralizing about it. They're still making a revenge movie, but they're like, they are showing the cost of that without pointing to it too much.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. It really is. Like, I think if anybody else was in this, it wouldn't be as good. It would be. Dev Patel really makes it for me. Like, you know, every scene I kept forgetting. I had a few times where I said, like, has he spoken in this movie?
Yeah,
and of course he does.
He does,
but
yeah.
Not much.
He goes for a lot of it is his face. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so much. It's kind of like him in fucking The Green Knight, where it's a lot of, like, times where I'm like...
I'm just being bewildered. Yeah, man. I gotta watch The Green Knight again.
He's such a good, like, silent... actor. Like, he's so good with his face and his expressions.
Yeah,
that like I would like genuinely forgot that he, like, I would realize that he wasn't talking much, because I, again, you feel like you're with him, you feel like you know everything he knows.
I mentioned Gosling in Drive, but it's the same type of thing, only it's not as loud. Ironically, for a character not to speak being loud, but like, you notice it and it feels way more obvious and deliberate in Drive. And then in this one, it's just, well, he's just sort of, he just doesn't talk and we never know what his name is.
Right.
He says his name is Bobby, but we immediately know that's a lie because we see the reverse shot and he was looking at the box of Bobby Bleach.
Yeah.
So
that's great. He's great directing too, where it's like, first directing, he knew to be subtle. Like, he's very
show don't tell.
Yeah, the Bobby isn't that subtle, but it's subtle.
Subtle enough, you know.
It's a really good bit because
yeah,
the way anybody else would make that scene, I think, or the way you'd instinctually do it is someone would say, "What's your name?" and they'd show him.
You'd show
and
him
then
look.
They'd show him look, and they'd show Bobby close up. And then he'd say it. But what they do instead is they show him just go Bobby. And then the reverse shot, you just, if you notice, it's there's bottles that say Bobby. And then it like pans away as the guy mm-hmm. walks.
And like, that's probably not his name.
Right. And it's not hard to spot. It's like quick and easy. I really want to rewatch this film in terms of like efficiency of storytelling. Because it is kind of it's not a complicated story, but it also...
It does cool things, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all the same pieces as, I mentioned Roadhouse, where it's like... Well, when you think about it, right, like, classic action movie shit, right, is revenge.
Yeah.
And it's personal. And, like, one man. But then, like Roadhouse, there's always this element of, like... But they also have this, like, big evil project. They're moving cocaine or they're trying to demolish the community. They're trying to tear down the roadhouse. They always have some bigger plans, right? That the villain gets involved in, or the hero gets involved in and fucks up. And so it's all to say, like, this is no different in terms of all those character elements than any other, like, action movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it just felt like they did a better job at like never having a character go like, oh yeah, that's so-and-so, he's doing this or his thing is this.
Right.
Or,
it's so good at just, you know, giving you the information just by, you know, without having somebody sit down. We mentioned it at the top. It's really good in terms of exposition.
And it doesn't not have those, like it does have scenes where he's at a bar and he's watching the TV.
Yeah.
Like it does have those moments. Yeah. But they kind of figured out how to.
They feel abstract enough. Like it's yeah. related to what's happening, but it's not like he's not getting updates about like oh, the chief of police has abducted this person and is, you know, it is holding them hostage at the construction site and is demanding Spider-Man show up. You know, it's never. It's always stuff about like the politics and sort of like. It's never
the shit that'd be on the TV.
Yeah, like, it's never like yeah. directly related, but it is related, and it's giving us information. But I think it never felt heavy-handed to me in that way because of that. Yeah,
I think this stands out mostly as that, as like a very good example of action storytelling, and exposition and pacing. Yeah. I liked it. I don't know if I have much else to say about it.
No, I think I'm all set.
It was just very solid.
It was an impressively made film for a first-time director.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Dev Patel, it's still like... We've only just fucking begun with Dev Patel. Like, that's my feeling, man, yeah. right? It's like, goddamn, like, I can't wait to see all the other shit he does and directs. So, yeah, Monkey
Last
Man.
Last Airbender
job,
2.
Everybody. Oh yeah, fuck it.
They keep trying to make that live action and apparently it just keeps not working. Anyway.
Yeah, I what is that? I never watched the cartoon.
I don't know. The cartoon is good. Anyway.
Yeah, it sounds that way. all right, folks. Well, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We have a Patreon if you're interested. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. GameFullyUnemployed Unemployed. We have exclusive podcasts on there like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Star Trek The Next Futurama, and Spiel Boys. We watch movies every Friday night with our patrons as well. This is in the vibe
probably,
of movies we'd watch.
We'll probably watch that, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, check out our Patreon. We got lots of cool stuff on there.
We also have a store. Head over to GameFullyUnemployed.com where you can find a link to our Teespring store where we have all sorts of cool original artwork and designs you can get on t-shirts, mugs, stickers, posters, all sorts of things. So slap your little monkey man peepers onto that.
Slap your monkey
your
dick
monkey
on
dick.
There.
Your monkey dick, yeah. He should have walloped somebody with his monkey dick.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he should have thrown his shit at people.
Yeah, just flinging
like,
shit.
Full-on monkey, yeah.
He does eat most of a guy's face.
That's true.
He, not enough, he but yeah. genuinely does, like, bites his nose fully off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is very monkey-like.
Yeah, he bites his, like, lip off. He bites his nose off.
Oh, like, God. He keeps biting Hannibal Lecter, that guy. Yeah. And one of them got to yell out, like, stop.
Like, the first time
me.
You bit a chunk of my face out, I'd be like, I'm not getting close to that guy ever again.
Right.
That would take the fight right out of me.
More action movies need the henchmen that, like, they did it in, what, Iron Man 3, but they need more of those henchmen that just go, like, wait, wait, stop, 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 stop. I'll leave. I'll go.
Yeah,
I'll go.
I'm all set. You're biting faces. That is not, that I'm not getting paid enough for face fighting.
Yeah, I'll get a new boss. Clearly this one isn't going to work out.
No insurance. Yeah. Bite my fucking nose off. It's going to be a nightmare for me.
Right. You'd think, like, yeah, when you get into other floors, there'd just be henchmen hearing about this. Right. And like, oh, I'm leaving.
The fact that he bit a dude's nose off would make its way upstairs pretty quickly.
Yeah. It should just be the henchman just shoving the police chief at him. Like, here. There they
Take
are.
Take him.
We're going.
Like when they deliver the president
work at David
in Futurama.
Busters or something. Yeah, exactly. McNeil.
Yeah. Here's McNeil. All right.
Stories are fun. Hey, listen, our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can find him on twitter.com as the Corlew, or go to shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our channel artwork is produced by Michael Vincent Bramley. For more of his work, go to mvbramley.art. Our episode artwork is by Justin Brown, available on Twitter as Justin T. Brown or at artnessbyjustinbrown.com. And finally, additional artwork is by Starlene Hodge. You can find her work at starlenearts.com or on Twitter as Starlene X. Cool. Goodbye.